It is Thursday, February 1st, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Donald Trump clashes with the FBI and Justice Department over the release of a classified Russia investigation memo. Poland's Senate approves a controversial new law on the Holocaust. And singer Drake releases a new single that's topping the charts. It's all ahead. U.S. President Donald Trump is feuding with both the FBI and the Justice Department over whether to release a classified memo alleging the top law enforcement officials were biased against the president. The Nunes memo is named for Republican Congressman Devin Nunes, who drafted it in recent weeks. I asked VOA Justice correspondent Masood Farivar what is known about the contents of the Nunes memo.
We know the broad outlines of the memo, that it alleges that the FBI and the Justice Department committed abuses of its surveillance powers. And specifically, the memo alleges that the FBI and the Department of Justice used unverified information to conduct or to seek authority or a warrant to conduct surveillance against a former Trump campaign advisor, Carter Page.
Now, President Trump wants to release, he said that he would like this memo to be released.
That's true. The White House and the president have made it very clear that they want to see the memo released as soon as possible. The question is when. The latest reporting we are hearing, have seen, but have not been able to independently confirm is that the White House will declassify the memo and will send it back to the House Intelligence Committee to be released as early as tomorrow.
Now, meanwhile, in an unusual development, I guess you could say, the current director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, he said that he had grave concerns about the accuracy of the memo. So is this setting up a conflict between Mr. Wray and Mr. Trump?
It is a potentially dangerous conflict. It was a very unusual statement to come from the FBI just hours after the president said that he was going to release it. This has rarely happened before. Now, the question is how the White House is going to react once the memo is released publicly. And there's worry on the part of Democrats in the House that the White House could use this to potentially fire the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, who signed off on the request to obtain the surveillance warrant. And it could potentially lead to the resignation of the FBI Director, Chris Wray.
Now, I believe Mr. Wray was appointed by Mr. Trump?
He is a political appointee. He was handpicked by President Trump after he fired the former FBI Director, James Comey. Now, while he's a political appointee, he's supposed to keep a distance from the White House, and he was appointed to a 10-year term. And the reason FBI directors are appointed to 10-year terms is to have that distance and be shielded from political interference. And Chris Wray, during his confirmation hearing and other public statements, has made it clear that he will guard the Bureau's independence. And if need be, he will resign.
VOA Justice correspondent Masood Farivar. Well, joining me in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
What's trending is just exactly what you were speaking about, the Nunes memo. Believe it or not, it's hard to imagine that a memo would be attracting all this attention, but it certainly is. In fact, just in the last, 3 minutes that I've been sitting here, and the number just keeps popping up, 225 new results just for release the memo hashtag. So people are obviously talking a lot about this. What they're saying, however, differs. We may have mentioned briefly, by the way, I just wanted to restate, the hashtag release the memo was sort of picked up or scooped up last week by a whole trove of Russian bots. And a lot of research has been conducted, and basically that has been sort of corrupted. Everybody who's using that hashtag now is kind of pretty much suspect of not even being a real person. So there are other ways to search in social media, but I just think entering memo is going to do it. Adam Schiff here, who's the ranking Democrat on the committee, tweeting out, discovered last night that Chairman Nunes made material changes to the memo he sent to the White House, changes not approved by the committee, the White House therefore reviewing a document the committee has not approved for release. Eric Holder, the previous Attorney General, here tweeting out, people must understand what is at stake by release of the bogus, contrived Nunes memo. It uses normally protected material and puts at risk our intel capabilities in order to derail a legitimate criminal investigation. This is unheard of. It is dangerous and irresponsible. Here is Charlie Daniels. Charlie Daniels, the country musician. Damn the leadership of the FBI and the State Department. We, the people, have a right to know what they've been up to. This nation does not belong to the government. It's ours. And when that ceases to be so, we're no better than your garden variety banana republic. So a lot of people sharing their thoughts and also speculating about whether the White House will release the memo, whether they will redact portions of it before releasing, whether they may turn it back to the House Intel Committee to let them decide to release it or not. Lots of reporting and speculation on that, but nobody really knows yet.
No, absolutely. And I think people will be glued to their computer screens and
for
television and radios until they find out about this. But anyway, thanks very much, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. The remaining group of North Korean athletes arrives in South Korea for the Pyeongchang Games. A Democratic Republic of Congo spokesperson says President Joseph Kabila will name a successor candidate by July. Kenya's High Court orders the government to reopen the country's top three television outlets, and a longtime U.S. diplomat is the latest to quit under President Trump. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOANews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Watching astronauts float in the weightlessness of space may look like a lot of fun, but scientists have found that such an environment can also have negative physical and psychological effects on humans. German scientists say they have found another effect of weightlessness. It can produce a higher body temperature. Detailing their findings in a new study published by the journal Scientific Reports, the scientists found that after being in space for about 2.5 months, an astronaut's body temperature, on average, rose to about 38 degrees Celsius, 1 degree above a normal reading of 37 degrees, even while at rest. Lead researcher Dr. Hans Christian Gunga, a space medicine specialist, explains that it's really difficult for our bodies to rid themselves of excessive heat in the weightless conditions such as those experienced by astronauts. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, early polls show positive reviews for President Trump's State of the Union address, but Democrats remain skeptical. Polish lawmakers Thursday approved draft legislation that threatens anyone with fines or prison any attempts to link Poland to Nazi atrocities on its soil during World War II. The measure, which must be signed by the president before it becomes law, has triggered a diplomatic dispute between Warsaw and Israel. In a statement, U.S. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert Wednesday expressed concern the measure would stifle free speech and academic discourse and the repercussions on Polish relations with Israel and the U.S. But Poland's deputy justice minister said research would not be threatened in any way. Poland, he said, is a democratic state and respects the freedom of public debate and the right to criticize. Under the legislation, violators could face up to 3 years in prison for mentioning Polish death camps. Polish officials insist such phrases suggest it was partly responsible for the deaths of millions of Jewish and non-Jewish Poles at the hands of the Germans. Russell Stone is professor emeritus at the American University Center for Israel Studies. He spoke with International Edition's Victor Beatty.
It appears that what the Polish government was trying to do was to cleanse the image that Poland was in some way complicit with the Nazis and in the concentration camps that existed on Polish soil occupied by Germany during World War II.
The United States expressed concern on Wednesday about the repercussions on Poland's relations with both the U.S. and Israel if this became law.
Well, this is disturbing because, despite that, the Polish Senate went ahead today and voted in favor of the law, which means they ignored the appeal of the United States and Israel.
Ironically, it came on the day the UN acknowledged Holocaust Memorial Day.
Well, it's probably the run-up to Holocaust Memorial Day is what brought the attention of the Polish regime to the fact that the camps were being referred to that way.
The Israeli Foreign Ministry Sunday summoned the Polish Charge d'Affaires to object to the bill. It must be approved by the Senate and by Poland's president. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him.
Yes, this is the step that remains, whether the Polish president will go ahead and ratify it. Now, lying behind this is the issue that although Poland was occupied by Nazi Germany, and the camps were part of that occupation. Many of the employees, the guards and working people in the camps were Poles and not Germans. And there had been a lot of controversy over the years of the extent to which Poles were complicit or at least not resistant to the effect of those camps in wiping out the millions of Jews that lived in Poland before the war.
Obviously, this is going to have a huge impact on Polish-Israeli relations.
It will in the short run. It remains to be seen whether it will in the long run. In recent years, the relationship between Israel and Poland has been quite good, and actually many Israelis of Polish origin have sought to reestablish Polish citizenship because this gives them access to the European Union.
Russell Stone said during the war an estimated 3.2 million Polish Jews were killed, while nearly 2 million non-Jewish Poles, including Gypsies, other ethnic minorities, along with opponents of the Nazi occupation, were also put to death. Public opinion polls indicate President Donald Trump's first State of the Union address got a generally positive response from viewers. The president emphasized unity and bipartisanship in his speech, which pleased many Republicans, but left Democrats skeptical about his true intentions and the road ahead. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
The president of the United States!
After a tumultuous first year in office, President Trump used his State of the Union to make an appeal for unity before a joint session of Congress and a worldwide audience.
All of us together as one team, one people, and one American family can do anything. We all share the same home, the same heart, the same destiny, and the same great American flag.
Republicans welcomed the president's softer tone and his appeal for bipartisanship, including Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick.
He talked about paid family medical leave, he talked about infrastructure, he talked about workforce training, talked about opioids. These are all bipartisan issues, and I was really, really happy to see him strike that tone.
But throughout the speech, Democrats often withheld their applause, signaling doubt that Trump was sincere. Many Democrats also question whether the president is truly willing to compromise on immigration, including Congressman Jim McGovern.
This president's views on immigration are extreme. I mean, they appeal to a narrow, bigoted, racist element of his base.
Instant polls following the speech suggested the president's softer tone was at least initially effective. The question is, will it last? Analyst John Hudak.
If the president does want a reset, he's going to have to show that behavior more than just for an hour and a half one night in January. He's going to have to continue to do that. And we have no evidence that Donald Trump has the capacity to change his behavior, not just in the long term, but even in the medium term.
It is now up to Trump to build on any momentum from his speech, says Jim Kessler.
Yeah, he should get a bump with the State of the Union. That happens with almost any president. The question is, you know, how long does it last? What is the shelf life, the half-life on that speech? Does it help him for 7 days or does it help him for 7 months?
Trump's speech left little doubt that his political base remains loyal to him. The president's challenge now is to find a way to broaden his support in the face of historically low approval ratings. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. Singer and musician Drake has just released a new single. I'm joined by VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London, who will tell us about it.
Today I'm going to bring you one of the hottest records on the planet. It's so hot, it debuted at number one in the U.S. and the U.K., and it belongs to Drake. It is a brand new song from Drake's brand new EP. The EP is called Scary Hours. And it came out a couple weeks ago, but the new single, which came out last week, number one already. And we're going to check it out right now. And the song is called God's Plan.
I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gonna tell the story was different with me.
Well, I'm a fan of Drake's. I like that song. It came out a couple years ago, Hotline Bling. But he's been very popular
yes.
in the last few years.
Well, he won two Grammys for Hotline Bling a couple of years back, and Views from the Six was his album. The last album he put out was one called More Life, which was kind of another EP. He's getting ready for a full studio album. He's been at work in his Toronto home studio. So we're anxiously awaiting the arrival of the new album. A lot of people were wondering, why wasn't Drake at the Grammys? He had a specific purpose. Unlike people like Taylor Swift, who've not commented, or Ed Sheeran, who slept through the Grammys. But Drake said he was not showing up as a specific reason. He was boycotting the fact that the Grammys has not supported rap and hip-hop music in the past. Although this year was the hip-hop show, with Jay-Z and Kendrick Lamar being nominated for the most awards for the evening. But nonetheless, that's why Drake stayed away. This is his first number one debut, and it's already breaking all kinds of records. 4 million streams the first day on Spotify. That's a new streaming record on Spotify. He's also number one on the iTunes chart right now, because that song has been the most downloaded and listen to song on iTunes so far. And the guy's just hot. He just continues to roll out the hits. He's talked about working with Eminem, so there might be something going on there as well. But he's been hard at work putting out new music, and he promised new music in 2018, and he's delivered in a big way. And the song God's Plan is not the only song that he's got in the top 10. He's got another song that's out, Diplomatic Immunity, that is already in the top 10 as well. That's two top 10 songs from his new album, debuting in the first week. So that makes him only the fourth hip-hop guy to ever accomplish that feat. And by the record of streams that he's had, he surpassed Jay-Z. So that's a big feat, too.
Very impressive. Does he have any plans to tour?
I'm sure that a tour will come out usually after the album. Right now they do limited shows, typically in the hip-hop world and in music in general. If they put on an EP or some new music, they do a few shows, four or five, six, seven shows. But when they go on the full one-year, two-year-long tour, that comes following a full studio album, which I'm sure we can anticipate sometime this year.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
God's plan. God's plan. I hold back sometimes, I won't. Yeah. I feel good sometimes, I don't. Like, I finesse down Western Road.
The music there of Drake. Well, in other news, U.S. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez is no longer facing federal corruption charges. The government dropped its case against Menendez after deciding not to retry him months after his first trial ended with a deadlocked jury. A judge last week threw out some of the bribery charges against Menendez, saying prosecutors failed to prove their case. He was accused of accepting gifts and campaign contributions from a wealthy Florida eye doctor in exchange for political favors. Menendez said he never wavered in his belief that he was innocent and that justice would prevail. That's our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
With a growing U.S. economy and a surging stock market at his back, President Donald Trump told leaders at the World Economic Forum that America is open for business and we are competitive once again. He noted that recently passed U.S. tax cuts and reforms are expected to raise the average American's household income by more than $4,000. The corporate tax rate was lowered from 35% to 21%, and a significant number of American companies are passing on bonuses to their workers in amounts as large as $3,000. The world's largest company, Apple, announced plans to bring $245 billion in overseas profits home to America. Eliminating unnecessary burdensome regulations is also a key factor, he said, in creating an environment that attracts capital, invites investment, and rewards production. President Trump encouraged his audience to come to America, where you can innovate, create, and build. But the president emphasized that his mission to put America first does not mean America alone.
When the United States grows, so does the world. American prosperity has created countless jobs all around the globe, and the drive for excellence, creativity, and innovation in the U.S. has led to important discoveries that help people everywhere live more prosperous and far healthier lives.
President Trump said that in order to have broadly shared prosperity, however, the international trading system must be reformed.
We cannot have free and open trade if some countries exploit the system at the expense of others. We support free trade, but it needs to be fair and it needs to be reciprocal, because in the end, unfair trade undermines us all.
President Trump pointed out that prosperity is impossible without security. That is why the United States is making historic investments in the American military and why it is asking friends and allies to invest in their own defenses and meet their financial obligations in order to make the world safer from rogue regimes, terrorism, and revisionist powers. We are all stronger when free, sovereign nations cooperate toward shared goals and shared dreams, President Trump declared. So together, let us resolve to use our power, our resources, and our voices, not just for ourselves, but for our people, to lift their burdens, to raise their hopes, and to empower their dreams, to protect their families, their communities, and their futures.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.